You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Isabel Allende is one of today's most accomplished and prolific writers, known for her intricate stories about fiercely independent women. Her latest book, The Sum of Our Days, is a candid and often humorous memoir of her life since the tragic death of her daughter in 1992, which is where her first memoir, Paula, left off. She was a guest on the show a few months ago to talk about the new book. I enjoyed that conversation, and I hope that you will too, as we re-air it now. I began by asking Isabel Allende if she likes writing in the memoir form.
Well, I call it memoir because I don't know what else to call it. But really, it's not so much about me. It's about the people around me. This book is about my family.
Mm-hmm. The last time you were here, it was to discuss My Invented Country, about the Chile of your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just as easily write semi-autobiographical fiction. What determines whether you want to write something like this as memoir, or whether you would want to write it as shorter essays, or is this an extended personal essay in a way?
I think that a memoir has the weight of truth, and the fact that people that are alive and are the characters in the story can check the manuscript, and they will know if I have lied or exaggerated too much.
Well, you've said that Chileans believe that dirty laundry is washed at home.
Uh-huh.
So what happens when they check the manuscript?
They get very angry. But half of my tribe is not Chilean, thank God. I gave the manuscript to each one to read, and they all came back to me, and we confronted each other's versions, and in a way, it helped me to go deeper into the story. It was good for me.
Because they gave you information that you'd forgotten?
No, I had more information that they had, because I write to my mother every day, so I had the letters. But you know the feelings. Sometimes I get so focused on the story that I forget that we are dealing with people. And I forget the feelings.
Did some people ask not to be included?
Yes, one of them. My stepson, my youngest stepson, we could never agree on the story. He had one completely different version of events. And so we went back and forth, and finally I said, you know what, I'm going to take you out of the book. And I had to rewrite the whole book.
Now, my brother has written a fair amount of memoir, and my take on it after a couple of upsets, well, that's not the way I remember that, was, well, he's the one who's telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to tell the story differently, then I should write my own book.
Everybody has a different perspective of something that we were both together in the same place at the same time, and people remember it completely different.
But as you say, you also have letters to rely on, and there are a lot of letters.
I mean,
here.
This is a mountain of letters.
Now, you wrote to your mother how often?
I write every day to my mother.
To
this day. And she writes every day, too. When I'm traveling, like now, it's emails. But otherwise, we write by hand, and we put it in the mail. Because somehow the paper has a quality that email does not.
Well, obviously, you like letters. The House of Spirits started off as a letter to your grandfather, Paula, was
mm-hmm.
written as a letter to your daughter, and that is in a time when most people will just pick up the telephone or send an email, which usually has a lot of abbreviated language in it, or now are sending text messages. And one of my producers told me, if I didn't text message, I would never be able to communicate with my kid.
I prefer the letter, because the letter stays. Emails and telephone conversations, it's like nothing. It's like air.
And a lot of people in the old days, when you look at the great letters, you realize that they also were dealing with writing style. They didn't
language.
Just dash
exactly.
things off. They
exactly.
thought about exactly how to say it. It's not all that different, I guess, than sitting down to write some other kind of prose.
My mother... When she was emailing me, she was conveying information. Now that she's back writing and sending me the letters by mail, there's story, beauty, style.
But do you think these letters were written, well, I mean, you know better than anybody else. Did you write those letters thinking, well, someday I'll use these as source material,
no,
so I better
no,
get them right?
Not at all. Not at all. It's just that in the day, my day is not complete if I have not communicated with my mother. If I have not told her what happened in the day, I will forget tomorrow, and it is as if it had never happened.
Where is your mother?
In Chile.
And pretty much everybody else you write about is near you in Northern California.
Uh-huh, my little tribe in Marin County.
Your tribe includes family members and also friends.
Well, a few family members that are blood related, my son, myself, the three grandchildren, my daughter-in-law. But the rest is friends that have come together, and we have chosen to form a sort of extended family. The advantage is that we've chosen each other.
It's not always so easy to do that sort of thing because people move away.
In this country, people move away all the time. And I know that this family is changing all the time. Right now, we're all together. In a year's time, one of them will be in college. I don't know if another one will get married and move away. I don't know.
My guess is
enjoy them while I have them.
And write about it. Isabel Allende's latest book is her fourth memoir. It's called The Sum of Our Days, and it is published by HarperCollins. You begin with your anxiety preceding January 8th. Why were you so terrified of that date?
I'm always terrified. January 7th is always a hard day for me because I know that the next day, January 8th, I have to start a book. And I always...
Well, you only start books on January 8th?
Only on January 8th. And I feel that every book is a gift, something that sort of falls from the sky, and maybe this year it won't happen. So I'm always a little scared.
Well, I've heard of many authors' superstitions and fetishes.
Well, this is not...
I'll tell you, Isabel, this is one of the oddest ones.
No, it's discipline. I could be procrastinating forever if I didn't have a date to start.
So this is not a superstition. This is simply a giving yourself a deadline.
Practically. It began as a superstition because my first book was published on January... I mean, was started on January 8th, and it was a lucky book. But now it's just a matter of discipline. If I didn't set aside several months a year in total silence and solitude, I could not be able to write.
And everybody knows, oh, we're entering January.
Absolutely.
Next week, Isabel is going to want to be alone for a long time.
Yeah. I'm not available for a long time.
You talked about your tribe. Is this something that is just Isabel Allende's, or is this something that people would recognize in Chile?
In Chile, we would recognize the extended family, the clan. And it's the extended family is so important and sometimes so extended that you practically have no other relationships except your family. So people meet every Sunday. Everything happens within the family. And because you don't choose your family, sometimes you're not very happy with the relatives you get. But in this case, I have tried to do something a little bit more open and loose than the Chilean family, and it's working pretty well.
Well, you could have chosen to stay with the tribe in Chile, couldn't you?
No, because I have not lived in Chile for 30 years.
Partly because you were forced into exile and now it's self-imposed?
First it was exile. And then I married an American. So I've been living here for 20 years. And if I have to choose where to live, of course it would be with Willie.
Mm-hmm. Although you do reveal certain trials and tribulations in that marriage.
A lot of therapy.
And in addition to your family, you include friends, as you said. Tell us about the people you call the Sisters of Disorder.
Those are five other women and myself. We form a little circle. And this circle has been really important for me. And I would recommend to every single woman in the world to have a circle of women, to support each other, to witness each other's lives. It's very empowering.
Do you think that this is something that's more likely to occur with women? I mean, I know any number of women who have a group of friends that get together, sometimes have a girls' night out. When men do that, it's a whole other kind of thing.
Yeah, when men do it, it's to play cards. When women do it, it's to talk. And women like to sit in circles and share. You see that everywhere. In a village in Africa, in the mountains, in the Andes, everywhere.
Can you tell us a bit about your daughter, Paula? You wrote as a letter to Paula. She died of porphyria. What is
that?
Well,
actually,
disease?
She didn't die of porphyria. Porphyria is a condition that should not be fatal today. And it's a disorder of the metabolism. And some people, when they have a crisis, may fall in a coma. But today, comas are monitored, and they come out of it rapidly with practically no consequences. My daughter had a crisis. She knew she had porphyria. She went to the hospital in Madrid wearing a medallion that said she had porphyria and a list of the medications she could not have. Unfortunately, the hospital was half in strike. I don't know what happened. And they gave her the wrong medication. She fell in a deep coma. They didn't monitor the coma. And by the time they admitted that there had been negligence, 5 months had gone by. And they gave me back my daughter in a vegetative state.
Must have been very difficult to write about that in the first book. Was it, because of the distance of time, was it a little easier to pick up that story?
When I wrote Paula, the first memoir, it was right after she died. Paula died December 6th, and I started on January 8th writing that book. And it helped me to survive and to go through the first year of grieving, which is awful usually. And I could manage the grief, and I could set limits to what had happened, because before, pain was invading everything. I didn't have any energy to even see my grandchildren or anything. It was just Paula. I was obsessed. Writing helped me get through that. And then when I picked up again the story 13 years later, I realized how the family had evolved, how memory had evolved, and how my grief had evolved too. And it had become something that I live with and I cherish. It's good for me. It's made me stronger, more compassionate, more understanding. And I like to describe it like a sediment. And in that sediment, in the bottom of my heart, everything wonderful grows. It's a very fertile soil.
When you start feeling that anxiety on January 7th, tomorrow I'm going to start writing, do you know, have any idea what you're going to start writing? Or do you know whether it's going to be fiction or nonfiction? For example, Michael Ondaatje says that when he sits down to write every day, it's a blank slate. And he just writes each day, and then it's in the second draft and in the revisions that the book emerges. But it seems to me that would be almost impossible for someone like me to do.
I know where and when the story happens, because usually I have researched a time and a place, and that's all I know. I don't have the characters, I don't have the plot, I don't have anything. And slowly in the daily exercise of writing, things happen, and the plot shapes up a little, and then the characters. But I go in circles. There's a lot of wasted time and wasted paper.
Even in memoirs?
In this memoir, it was easier because I had my mother's letters.
Mm, that was the research.
So at least the chronological order was there. But it took me longer than a novel because I had to have it translated into English and give it to everybody to read. And that took a while.
And you don't do your own translation, at least for
no,
a draft?
No, I can't write in English. I can hardly speak in English.
Oh!
I have no sense of humor in English. But I'm very funny in Spanish, by the way.
I've been amused by you in English. Isabel Allende's latest book, her fourth memoir, is called The Sum of Our Days. It is published by HarperCollins. And as always, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much, Leonard.